Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers with the Demigods, Text 34. Satvam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavan Sitao. Sharirinam Shreya Upayanam Vapu. Veda Kriya Yoga. Tapasamadibis Tavahanam Yena Janasami Hate Okay. Sattvam existence. Vishuddham transcendental. Beyond the three modes of material nature. Shrayate accepts Bhavan your lordship. Sthitao during the maintenance of this material world. Sharirinam of all living entities. Shreya of Supreme Consciousness. Upayanam. Oh, I'm sorry, of Supreme Auspiciousness. Upayanam. For the benefit. Vapu. A transcendental form or body. Veda Kriya. By ritualistic ceremonies according to the direction of the Vedas. Yoga, practice of devotion. Tapaha, by austerities. Samadhi, by becoming absorbed in transcendental existence. Tava, your arhanam, worship. Yena, by such activities. Shana, human society. Samihate, offers the obligation unto you. I'm sorry. Offers his obligation unto its obligation unto you. Offers its obligation unto you. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.3, jagna dana tapa karma na tyajam. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. Jagno Dana Tapaschaiva Pavanani Manishina, 18.5. Even one who is very much advanced in spiritual realization must still execute the Vedic principles, even in the lowest stage. The karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Jagnat Tat Karmano Kamano Nyatra Loko Yam Karma Vandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words Jagnatat Karmanaha indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that these duties should be performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So karmana tar abhyacha, According to Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society. Chaturvayamayashvistam. There should be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tam Abhyaccha. This is real human society. Without this system, we are left with animal society. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of Gokara, cows and asses. Saeva Gokara. Everyone is acting in a bodily concept of life, involving society, friendship, and love, for the improvement of economic and political conditions. And thus all activities are enacted in ignorance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore comes to teach how to act according to the Vedic principles. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras. Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalo Nashdeva Gandhir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This has proven very effective in all places at all times. Supreme Personality of God, it appears in order to teach us Vedic principles, attended for understanding Him. Vedaisha Savar Aham Eva Vedya. We should always know that when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appeared, they appeared in Shuddha Sattva bodies. One should not mistake the body of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a material body like ours. For Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it appeared as needed for the benefit of the entire human society. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddha Sattva transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life, yes, yatma buddhi kunipe tritavike, and concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language. Essentially, such activities are the activities of animals, saeva gokara. We should learn how to act from Bhagavad Gita, which explains everything for human understanding. Thus we can become happy even in this age of Kali. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities, such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. These are the demigods speaking, and the demigods know quite a lot, otherwise they wouldn't have become demigods. So one of the things they know is that no one in this material world becomes elevated spiritually unless they follow the Vedic principles. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yakshastra Midim Utsrija Vartite Kamakarata Nasasidim Abhatnoti Nasukam Naparamgiti. that anyone who gives up Shastra, Yakshastra Vidim, the injunctions of Shastra, Ustrija, to give up, Vartate, Kama, Karata, and acts whimsically. So anything except for following the Vedic injunctions is whimsical. In other words, there's really no benefit from whimsical activities. They're just done without any thought and any deep thought. The sasadim about no ti, na sukham, na param gitim. That such persons cannot attain either happiness nor peace nor the transcendental destination. In other words, at least people are interested, for the most part, most people are interested in becoming peaceful. Just like you probably wouldn't throw yourself into a pool of crocodiles because it wouldn't be a very peaceful atmosphere. So ultimately, people are looking for peace, but they're looking for peace in various ways, most of which cause them problems. And sukha, freedom from distress. Everyone is looking for happiness. And everyone would like to get the best destination. Just like if I was giving away tickets, either to go to Florida or to Ukraine right now, Bakhmut or someplace like that. Probably most of us would choose Florida because it's, for right now, it's a better destination than Ukraine or other parts of the world where there's conflict. So everyone wants the best destination. Just like after class, everyone will go down to Prashadam, because we know it's a very nice destination, especially if we're hungry. But if we act whimsically, then we won't be able to enjoy either happiness, nor neither peace nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. In other words, there's actually a gradation of following. There's peace, then there's happiness, and then there's the supreme destination. First there's liberation, then there's bhava bhakti, or after liberation, happiness increases, and ruchi, asakti, then bhava and prema, happiness continuously increases. There's happiness and liberation, there's happiness in sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti gives one a higher taste than material taste, otherwise no one would continuously practice sadhana bhakti. It gives a higher taste, and then ultimately, at the state of liberation, one gets the highest, something higher than material taste, moksha lagu kriya. Bhava bhakti derives even the conception of liberation, even the conception of being peaceful. The happiness in bhava bhakti is so great that liberation seems insignificant. Peace comes at liberation, when we realize we're eternal. Without realizing we're eternal, it's not possible to be peaceful. We may have all the comforts we want. We may desire things. Generally speaking, we're not peaceful either because we're hungry, or we're thirsty, or we're tired, or other reasons from an external point of view. So even if we eat, that is not the solution to becoming permanently peaceful. All of us, we've eaten every day, and still we may not be peaceful. We may sleep if we're tired and can't go to sleep, then we can't be peaceful. But we can satisfy these demands, and that will make us temporarily peaceful, but the demands will come again. But the most demands that make us completely agitated are the mental ones, because they're never satisfied. Even we think, if I only get this, or if I only get that, if I got a house, or a wife, or a color TV, Give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So even Krishna gives us the color TV, we'll need want a new one every year. And whatever we get in the material world, actually if we get something that pleases us, then we want more of it. We want a better one. We want an improvement. The mind can come up with ideas, it can never be satisfied. They just continuously create newer and newer desires. Even Howard Hughes, the richest person of that world, in the world at that time, he had the equivalent of maybe $200 billion nowadays. When they asked him, what would you like now that you have all this money, what would you like? He said, I want more money. He only had 200 billion euros or dollars, and he felt insecure. Maybe tomorrow the stock market goes down, I won't have my two chapatis. And what to speak of liberation, then actually what we want is real happiness. After liberation, when we're actually experiencing Krishna's transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, then we can experience true love and happiness. And then, ultimately, then there's a supreme destination where the happiness is unlimited and goes on forever. So that's the goal of the Vedas. Generally speaking, the goal of the Vedas starts with trying to get us liberated from the material concept of life. That's the actual benefit of taking part in any kind of spiritual or religious activity, is to go towards the direction of liberation, to get out of the material concept of life, to realize we're eternal. Otherwise, shravana eva hi kevalam, so many ritualistic performances, if they don't produce actual dharma, actual freedom from material concept of life, then they consider shravam avihi kevalam, a waste of time. Therefore, Krishna says, yesham andigatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvanva mohanir muktva bhujante mam dridavrataha. That those who have practiced yesham andigatam papam, those who have given up sinful activities. So believe it or not, that's the first thing we have to give up. And the most sinful activity is eating meat. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabravad Grayam Indriyai, Seva Mukhehi Jivado, Swayam Evas Pratida. That no one can understand Krishna. And without understanding Krishna, without experiencing Krishna, not just theoretically understanding Him, but without actually experiencing Him, then we have to look for happiness elsewhere. There's no question of not trying to become happy, because our very nature is happiness, ananda. So if we don't get happiness in Krishna consciousness, then that's what the material world is meant for. So we can seek happiness here, try to look around to see if we can squeeze happiness out of something here. So, Takshi Krishna Namadi Nabravad Brahminde. But now we're trying to find happiness with covered senses. It's like, as I said before, going to a big feast. Today's Sunday. Today, I guess there's some extra prasadam. Sometimes it's pizza. Some cheese or something. But imagine going to the, sitting down to eat nice pizza, whatever else there is. But they put the criteria is you have to have a glove on your tongue. So the pizza's still the same, but with a glove on the tongue, it's very hard to taste it. Hopefully it's a chocolate glove. But if it's just an ordinary glove, then it's very hard to get any satisfaction by eating. Similarly, everything is actually blissful, everything is spiritual, but because our senses are covered, we can't experience the happiness that everything contains. Everyone is actually quite very beautiful because everyone is a spiritual being, and everything is Krishna's energy, which is not different from him. So in full consciousness of Krishna, there's nothing but happiness. And that's not obtained by getting something, it's by removing something, moving the coverings over our senses. Seva mukhe, and that's possible by service, because Krishna reciprocates with us when we serve. And the first service is with the tongue. The tongue tastes and vibrates. So, if we vibrate Hare Krishna, as mentioned at the end of this purport, then we can actually purify our senses, if that's what we want. If we call out to Krishna for some other reason, either we don't believe that actually Krishna and his name are the same, we just do it mechanically or unconsciously, we'll get one result. And even if we believe Krishna and his name theoretically are the same, but it takes experience, it takes practice for Krishna to reveal, to act in such a way is that Krishna is going to reveal himself to us. Act in such a way is not just act, to conceive things in certain ways. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi Sunichena Traiva Sihishnuna Amanina Madhadena Kirtini Yaksadari. That the first criteria is humility. Amadi dvama dambi dvama hinsa shanti arjava. The first thing is humility. Because after all, if it's true we're 1/10,000th the size of tip here in size, there's not really very much room for being proud. What do we have to be proud of? The only thing we can be proud of is our material body. But the material body was a gift to the material nature. It's not our body. It's a prison for us, for the soul. So anyone who's proud of a prison, being put in prison, is not very intelligent. If we look in the mirror and we think, I have a beautiful prison, then what is the value of our what is the extent of our actual understanding of things? No, we have to understand that this body, which is a prison for the soul, can be utilized as an instrument for Krishna also. So it's an opportunity to engage in Krishna service and transform the body into something spiritual. And when it's used in devotional service, then it becomes spiritual and it becomes, all the activities are perfect because they're pleasing to Krishna. Which is the best we can do. That's the ultimate purpose of every activity, is whether it pleases Krishna or not. If it pleases Krishna, then the activity is successful. And if it doesn't please Krishna, then it's a waste of time. Therefore, if we do something to please Krishna with the attitude that actually I'm a very small little servant of Krishna, but I'm doing this because that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to please him because he's the most beautiful person. If we think Krishna is God, controller of everything, inaccessible, inconceivable, then of course, why would we want to please such a personality? And if you think he's a coward boy who plays and dances with the coward boys and the gopis and is a friend for all living entities, then who's a soft-hearted person, who is the well-wisher of everyone, then we might want to please him. That's called humility, because when we're understanding our actual position and we're trying to please Krishna, and Krishna, out of his compassion, reveals himself to us, then we realize how sweet Krishna is. He's unlimitedly sweet, just like we're in love with ourselves, but Krishna is unlimitedly more sweet than we are. We can't compete with Krishna's sweetness, because he's unlimitedly sweet. Nor can we complain, oh, why are you unlimitedly sweet? Just like if you get a nice gulab-jamun, you can't complain, oh, this gulab-jamun tastes sweeter than I am. Who's going to complain? No, we appreciate the sweetness of the gulab-jamun. So Krishna is unlimitedly sweet, so we love him even more than we love ourselves when we actually experience him. And then we can understand how sweet by nature we are also when we actually find out Krishna's sweetness. Then we become humble, and then we can tolerate all kinds of inconveniences because they won't bother us, because our only objective is not to either improve our material circumstances or to get out of our material circumstances. Our only objective is something different, namely to please Krishna under any circumstance. Then we can be tolerant. Otherwise, it's not possible to be truly tolerant. Then we can appreciate how beautiful everyone else is, and how, when they're serving Krishna, how wonderful their activities are, because they're bringing Krishna into this world, and their activities are all into the spiritual energy. And then we won't be so much caught up in trying to make ourselves as the center of all existence, because we understand the only benefit I can get, or the only benefit anyone can get, is when Krishna and his associates are the center of existence. So that's the purpose, to glorify Krishna, and then to taste Krishna prasadam, but to taste it with some devotion. Realize it's Krishna's mercy, and to taste it remembering how Krishna, this is not different from Krishna, and therefore remembering Krishna when we eat prasadam, and then one will lose taste for other kinds of food. If one is actually able to eat prasadam with devotion, then one will not be attracted to any other kind of food. And it is this desire to lord it over the material nature and control it that keeps us in the material world. But if we eat with devotion, Krishna prasadam, and remember Krishna, the actual controller of the material world, then we'll lose our desire to become the controller ourselves, because we're not going to do as good a job as Krishna can do. We may desire that this body be utilized in Krishna's service, sometimes even to so-called control others, to inspire them to engage in Krishna's service. We try to control others to inspire them to engage in Krishna's service. So the control is usually out of love. People, even Krishna, surrenders to love. Srimati Radharani controls Krishna, not by her strength. Krishna is actually stronger than Srimati Radharani, as far as I know. But she controls Krishna by her love. So we can control others by love, but we should control others to engage in Krishna's service, because that will be the actual love for them, because that's their best interest. So if we take prasadam with some devotion, then because the tongue is the main instrument, beginning instrument for controlling material nature. When the cauliflower is on our plate, paying full dandavas, completely submissive to whatever we desire, and maybe there's some broccoli too, then when we eat it, then we get the sense of controlling the material universe and enjoying it. But if we eat with devotion, remembering Krishna, then actually this cauliflower and broccoli, they empower us to do service for Krishna. So we appreciate that. The energies are now being turned into devotion, devotional service. So this is the beginning of spiritual consciousness. But if we eat with the idea, rah, like a tiger, and we chant, rah, rah, Hare Krishna, rah, rah, we chant like a tiger, or we chant like a mouse, Hare Krishna, Krishna, squeak, 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 Hare Rama, rah, rah. We chant like a mouse, that will not give us the desired benefit. If we chant like a child calling for his mother, then we get the result of Krishna coming and entering into our heart. because of our love and devotion for him. So all the Vedic sacrifices, all the Vedic, whether it's Vedeshu, Daneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva, Vedeshu, Jagneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva, Daneshu, Yet Punyapalam, Pradivyam, Adeti, Tasaram, Idam, Vedipa, Yoga, Param, Staram, Ipaiti, Chadyam. Whether it be studying the Vedas, or it be performing austerity, or it's by sacrifice, or by charity, or by pious activities, all of them are simply meant so that we can understand the value of devotional service. Because as I said, by austerity we can become, by studying the Vedas we can understand who we are. We're a little tiny soul. So we study the Vedas and we get puffed up, I'm so learned, I know so much, we don't know anything. Like Rama Harishan Suda, he thought he knew everything. He even disrespected Lord Balaram because he thought, oh, who's this Balaram? Just an incarnation of God. But I'm the king of the sacrifice here. Because he became proud of his knowledge, he actually didn't know anything. So the study of the Vedas is to help us become humble so we can actually become austere and tolerant. What is the benefit of austerity? It's tolerance. We're learning tolerance. But if we become puffed up by our austerity and become proud like Durvasa Muni, then we get ourselves into trouble. Then we become intolerant. And if we're intolerant, he can't tolerate, then his Maya will capture his consciousness and take it away into the material sphere. Like when Vishwamrita Muni was sitting there for 60,000 years of the demigods, very tolerant, so much tapasya, but he couldn't tolerate hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, and therefore he became bewildered and fell down into material existence again. And ultimately, the dhanya, giving in charity, means to give people Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, books about Krishna. This is the highest charity. If we actually become conscious of Krishna, then we want to distribute Krishna to others. So all the Vedic culture is meant to bring us to the point of chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly and performing devotional service. And in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking us not to do big austerity, not to give big charity, but only austerity is chanting Hare Krishna, controlling the mind, which is the biggest austerity, engaging Krishna's service by controlling and engaging the mind and the senses in Krishna's service, and giving the charity of Hare Krishna, the holy name of Krishna consciousness, to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not asking for a big, you know, sitting in one place for 60,000 years, controlling meditating on some form of Krishna, eating only leaves, dry leaves that fall from trees, standing on one leg. No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply asking us to chant Hare Krishna. And if we do that nicely, then the result is that we'll worship Krishna's form, like we have the temple worship here. So we'll worship Krishna's form, and then we'll be able to do sacrifice. We'll become inspired to do sacrifice by spreading the Hare Krishna mantra, and then we'll be able to meditate and trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we become purified, then Krishna will enter into our heart and we'll be able to perceive him. So, just by chanting Hare Krishna, everything that was done in Kali, in Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga, in Dwarpa Yuga, can be accomplished in this Yuga just by offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in the missionary work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we're very fortunate. I noticed when I walked around the block today, this morning, Most people are not up chanting their rounds. Probably there's just maybe 20 people and maybe some more in Ljubljana doing some devotional activities. Everyone else is asleep. After Saturday and Friday, they need some rest. But their activities were not probably very devotional either. In any case, we're very fortunate even to get some idea that this is the goal of life. And then we're even more fortunate when we practice Krishna consciousness. And our fortune will simply grow as our Krishna consciousness grows. And this is, the demigods are quite appreciative of that. Although, anyhow, so they're coming here and offering appreciation to Devaki for her glorious bringing Krishna into this world, so we can also become glorious if we bring Krishna into this world too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking about maybe not so many devotees have the courage to speak up about if our enthusiasm into chanting Hare Krishna, into devotional activities, if this decrease, is this any mistake in software, or how could, or what could we do to increase our enthusiasm and taste for doing devotional activities and chant Hare Krishna more, maybe better quality, or?
Well, do our activities with care and attention. Touch. Shushusha shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi. So, first business is to hear nicely. But hear with the attitude of that what I'm hearing I want to put into practice. And how do I put it into practice? When I do this service that I'm doing, I do it with care and attention. So hearing, and then the result of good hearing is that we steadily do our service, whatever it might be. And we do it with enthusiasm, which the smallest amount of enthusiasm is just paying attention and doing very carefully, lovingly, to please Krishna. Then Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna will give us more and more understanding how to do it with more care and with more attention. He'll encourage us to do it, just like Krishna encourages. We do something wrong, but wrong means whatever habits we have, Krishna helps us develop those habits. And if we develop a spiritual habit, Krishna will help us develop that spiritual habit. But the difference is that material habits get boring after some time. One reaches a pinnacle. But spiritual life never diminishes. So Krishna will continuously give us more and more intelligence, how to do things more and more carefully, more and more attentively, which ultimately means more and more steadily, more and more enthusiastically. Activities performed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So we have to do something with intelligence, according to Guru Sadhana Shastra, and then do it in Krishna consciousness, but to please Krishna. A conscious that everything here is Krishna's energy, and then what Krishna wants me to do with his energy. And if we do it to please him, then Krishna will reveal himself in our enthusiasm. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.